Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast, creators of the Majesty Program, a life-changing meditation program using our very own auto-suggestion sound method technique. Get 30% off the $11.99 purchase price with the coupon code INSPIRATION. Learn more at livinghour.org/majesty. Today's podcast has been edited and adapted from Success Through Thought Habit by Benjamin Johnson, published in 1908. If ever the true merit of constructive thought is placed to a test, it is when things go so wrong that there is apparently no way to turn and no solution to our difficulty. Try as we may, we can find no reasonable excuse for what is happening. Once in a while, we may be placed in the trying position of not being able to blame anyone for our plight, and as we think things over, we are forced to admit that were circumstances to be again arranged as they had been, we would do the same things all over again. Then perhaps we grow a little sorry for ourselves, and we say beneath our breaths, "What is the use of trying? I was just as good as I could have been for days, weeks, and months. And then this awful thing had to happen for no reason at all." Next, we may get angry, or possibly disgusted. And just in proportion to our own state of mind, does the outlook continue to look worse and worse, until soon dull despair settles down in great chunks of gloom? What is the remedy, you ask? There is only one to be used in cases of this description, and that is absolute faith in the ultimate outcome, no matter how bad everything looks. And the realization that nothing that happens to us at any time is an accident, but is what we need in order to show what we are made of. Resistance, resentment, anger, and blame only mean that we shall continue to have more tribulations of a similar nature until our lessons have been learned, and we find that out of every evil, good will come. In the mental world as well as the physical, anyone who breaks a law is punished, not always in the way we may recognize, but just so surely the punishment comes. Hence, to resist and resent the lesson that every incident should teach merely means that we will keep living those experiences over and over again, until our consciousness has been so developed that we may progress beyond trials of that description. One young woman who always arranged her day's work ahead of time told me that the very hardest lesson she had to learn was having her plans disrupted. She said that she used to get so angry when she was not allowed to accomplish things as she had planned that she would have a sick headache for days. Finally, one day, when things at work were just commencing to go the wrong way, according to her point of view, she caught sight of the following little phrase: "If you don't like the outlook, try the uplook." It was so very apt that she laughed out loud. And as she did, the manager of her department passed through and asked, What are you laughing at? The young woman candidly explained her frame of mind and her method of reasoning. And the manager said wonderingly, "So that's the reason. I have been watching you for months and didn't realize that your lack of progress was merely due to a stuffy desire to do things always a certain way." "Don't you realize," he explained, "that the truest test of efficiency is to be able to act in emergencies, and the only way we can ever act at such a time is to become accustomed to the doing of things we don't like, and at times that are very inconvenient to us. For example, look at the military. As a general rule, the privates have their planning done by the officers a little higher up, who in turn depend upon the lieutenants, and lieutenants on the captains, and so on until the generals are the ones ready for any emergency, who know how to act when things go wrong, instead of wondering what in the world they will do next." The young woman listened with interest and commenced to see her work in a different light. A few days afterwards, the manager approached her and said, "These thoughts have helped me. Use them and pass them on to someone else." He then handed her a slip of paper on which was written these words: "This problem has been presented to me to solve. If I ignore it or run away, it merely means I shall have it to face again on some future day. I know that I cannot escape any lesson of life. Hence I shall confidently put forth every effort, knowing that this very test is making me stronger and better and more capable of handling difficult situations. I am strong, fearless, and certain I shall succeed in my endeavors." That little slip of paper proved to be the one thing that she needed in learning how to adjust herself to emergencies. She did not succeed all at once, but slowly and surely she progressed until one day she was promoted to the head of her department. Then she became assistant manager, and today she is half owner. Another success that came in spite of obstacles, because of the right constructive thought, was told me the other day by a young widow. She was left absolutely destitute with three children to rear. She decided to learn a profession. And after mastering the details of her chosen work, she was sent to a small town to take a position for a few months. Nothing was as represented. Everyone was disagreeable. And losing her head completely, the young widow did her work poorly and blamed everyone for her unhappy plight. Utterly disgusted, she was about to return to her hometown, when as she was walking back to her apartment from work, she saw two boys fighting. The smaller one lost badly, but struggling to his feet, he looked up and said tearfully, "I got the nerve all right, but my muscles ain't there yet. Next year this time, I'll lick that kid hands down. You see, ma'am, it's up to me to show him what I can do." That incident impressed the discouraged widow, and as she walked on, she started to wonder if maybe it was up to her to show the people what she could do. By morning, she was convinced that she should do that very thing, so instead of giving up, she stayed, improved in her work, and found just what profit there could be in a business of that size. In 2 years, she saved enough money to begin her own business, and today she is in comfortable circumstances. Her children have received a good education, and their motto, like their mother's, is, "It's up to me." I know a brilliant lawyer with an enviable reputation who has shared with me his own experience with constructive thought in the telling of his first job. His parents passed away, and he was left to support a family of four when he was only 19 years of age. He thus was obliged to leave college before finishing and take a job that was very objectionable, but which provided him with a better salary than anything else he could find. For a time, he fairly dreaded the appearance of morning and the beginning of a new day. He lost his appetite, his strength commenced to fail, and it looked as though a serious illness were staring him in the face, when one day one of his old professors saw him, looked him over shrewdly, and asked, "What's the matter, James?" The young man told him. "Nothing better in sight?" the teacher inquired. "Nothing better in town," groaned James. "Well, well," said the teacher, "as long as we can't change your job, let us change you. Now, James, you are going to like this work, because if you are worth bothering with, it will develop you so that in your later life you can accomplish anything. Stop with your self-pity. Be glad you have two legs and two arms, and your eyesight and hearing. And every morning of your life say this: My work is a wonderful work, and I love every part of it. Each day as I develop more and more, I am attracting to me more harmonious forces that help me to do bigger, better things. This day, no matter how it commences, or what trials it contains, will be the best day I have ever spent in this work, and from it results are sure to come. I am a successful worker, and my work shall be crowned with success." But, objected James, and then he stopped. "You are going to say it isn't true," asked the teacher. James nodded. "Don't worry about that," smiled the teacher. "Make it true." "And then," laughed James, as he told me of his experience, "I did." Let us also recall the wisdom of Epictetus, who said, "Seek not that things that happen should happen as you wish, but wish that things which happen to be as they are. And so you shall have a tranquil flow of life." To desire improvement is a part of wisdom, but to insist on that improvement coming to us in just the way our intelligence dictates is not even good sense. Successful athletes first have to desire strength, then they start in their work, and use their will constantly to keep at their work until the required development is reached. This process is often called punishment by student athletes, for it means going without certain sorts of food, keeping regular hours, and working despite the aching and tired muscles. The student of constructive thinking should realize that in developing mental muscles, there must be many hours of what also may be called punishment. Time must be spent in getting over what seems like a disappointment, and constant effort made to find the good in everything, no matter how difficult the condition. Many times your entire method of living must be changed. Often it means giving up a home or a sweetheart, or it may even mean losing a job or perhaps suffering a loss of money. But always the lesson is there. The reward will come if we can but have the strength to forge ahead with faith in the future and the knowledge that God's in heaven and all's well with the world.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.